is the Tom Likas Show.
I'm calling in regards to the Tim Likas Show.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Mad people.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24/7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear our show on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. The Tom Likas Show, brought to you in part by Mangrake. Get 33% off your entire order. Plus, buy three, get one free. Just enter the simple coupon code TOM, T-O-M, at checkout. It's Mangrake.com. This holiday season, give them Mangrakes and they'll be grilling like a pro, guaranteed. Mangrakes. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Thank you for tuning in. Joining us in studio, criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Good to see you, Adam.
Hey, Tom. What's going on?
Not much. You tell me.
So I got a letter I want to read you, Tom. You'll appreciate this.
Okay.
Dear Adam, this is from a listener. I recently began following you on Facebook after Tom Likas, that would be you, Tom, shared one of your posts. I wanted to reach out to you and express my gratitude for what you do. I have been a P1. Let's have some applause for quite some time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Your Tuesday segment has always been my favorite. The danger you preach to men is real. Unfortunately, often takes a run-in with the law for many to understand that. In my younger years, I was caught up in a system which perceives men as guilty on any issue related to domestic violence. It all started with one single 911 call. Remember we talked about that, Tom, that call that gets the ball rolling?
I do.
So you only have to piss your girlfriend off for about 10 seconds, and women are impulsive.
Yes.
For me, the charges were dropped and my record was expunged, although today I still cringe when a prospective employer mentions doing a background check. It can be a hard lesson learned. I appreciate how you advocate for men's rights and the guidance you provide. I live in New Hampshire. I know we had fans in New Hampshire. That's
yeah,
cool.
We do.
If I ever make it to Los Angeles, I would love to buy you and Tom, that's you again, a beer and shake your hand. Your message and guidance is powerful and makes a difference. Heartfelt thanks, Joe.
Nice!
How was that, right?
Yeah.
Nice!
I always get these angry people, so it's nice to see someone who's happy.
Yeah!
That was good. But I'm glad we're making a difference.
That is good!
You know, Tom, I was laughing at myself. I remember that you told me that your father had apparently dragged you as a young child to Columbia Law School.
Didn't drag me there. He just brainwashed me constantly. And when I say brainwash me, I mean he'd be reading me a bedtime story, and then he would look over in the middle going, when you grow up, you're going to become a lawyer. You're going to go to Columbia University. And I was 4 years old, and I did not know what Columbia University was. I didn't know what a lawyer was.
Well, I thought he took you to the actual building, no?
No. You're thinking of my aunt who took me to the New York Stock Exchange.
I remember that, too, of course.
Yeah.
I always thought that your dad actually made the trip, but...
dad, and another thing may be confusing, my dad was a vendor, not at Columbia University, but at City College.
Oh, God.
At the old Lewisohn Stadium.
Tom, I always think I know everything on
all
these Likas facts, and
I'm getting them all straight in your mind.
I'm always confounded.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you'll appreciate this. Apparently, these are the real, you know, serious men of Columbia Law School today. Apparently, they're so traumatized by their disappointment in the grand jury decision of that Staten Island strangling case.
Yeah.
That they are allowed to delay their exams if they need to. Isn't that lovely?
Oh, my.
These are the future lawyers of America.
Jesus.
So that means that, for example, if I go into court and I can tell the judge, Your Honor, my papers aren't ready because I'm traumatized because of what the grand jury did in Ferguson. I'm so upset. I need an extra 2 weeks. And the judge will give it to me, I presume.
I'm traumatized that Hello Ladies was canceled. I'm going to take a month off.
That's really upsetting.
I know.
There's a relatively famous lawyer. Maybe more famous than me, Tom, would you believe?
Hard to believe.
And he did, like, Britney Spears and some other big-time celebrity cases. And he was on TMZ. He got popped for a DUI. And I'll tell you something, Tom. considering he's a lawyer and he should be listening to this show, he did everything that we say not to do. They actually had a video of him, very humiliating, and he was doing the field sobriety test. He did the blow test. He did everything. And I was hoping that someone was going to call in. I think they flaked on us, Tom. But I wanted to talk a little bit about encounters with the police. Now, this is a very hot topic now because, as we've seen, there's thought to be some kind of serious bias. And this is what they talked about in the Staten Island case and obviously in the Ferguson case. And I think our old friend Al Sharpton, remember him?
I do.
You know, that was like one of those people that was like Trump. He was like a strictly regional person that you saw if you lived in New York.
Yes.
And now he's really taken on national level where everyone's heard of him now. He's like meeting with the president or whatever. But the idea is supposed to be that, you know, if you interact with the police and you're from a minority group, you're going to be killed. And there's a lot of, obviously, emotions and feelings running very high about the recent decisions not to go after the police for having some of these people get killed during arrests or whatever. And so there's some very important crossover issues, and sometimes people have to figure this out for themselves. But I want to talk a little bit about the difference between standing up for yourself and protecting your rights and what you would call, let's say, not cooperating. Now, contrary to what a lot of people seem to believe, it is unusual for a policeman to start off by screaming at you. There's a whole thing that they teach them in the police academy, which is what they call the police presence. And what that's supposed to mean is an authoritative presence. And this is why people sometimes feel that cops are being jerks or cops are being nasty, cops are rude, because they're asserting their authority really at all times. And, you know, if they don't do that, at least to some degree, then they're going to say things and people are going to ignore them or laugh at them. And they're obviously coming in and breaking things up, you know. They always say that the day that the cop is there, you know, for you could be the worst day of your life, whereas for him it's just another day. And so the connection that's remarkable enough a lot of times is psychology the police use, where they will say to people, you know, I'm trying to help you. I'm not angry. I'm trying to make this better for you. And the truth is that that's, you know, one of the biggest lies ever. I know you said, Tom, that it was the wedding vows, but those are up there.
Till death do us part.
Well, the cop telling you that he wants to help you is one of the biggest lies ever, okay?
Is it bigger than your call is important to us?
Well, if the call was really important to them, they wouldn't have you on
hold. You wouldn't be on hold.
They'd have more operators.
That's right.
All right, so we'll let that one slide. By the way, I've yet to get a busy signal when I call Tesla customer service, by the way. They have someone answer you right away.
I'm not surprised.
But anyway, so the bottom line is that in the context of this, there definitely is a certain level of difference in terms of how a police officer treats you. And I'll give the good example, which we always talk about, is a DUI. And I've seen this a few times. With people that are relatively cooperative, the police officer has a little bit of discretion, assuming, let's say, you're being arrested, taken in for a blood test, whether they were going to tow your car or they'll just let you park your car. Now, I had a couple of people that were relatively polite and went along pretty well, and the officer said, look, you've been all right, give me your car keys. And they take the car, and it's like, I don't know, on the side of the road somewhere, and they park it in like a Denny's restaurant parking lot or in a little shopping center, and they'll leave it there, and then obviously you get it later, or you have one of your friends go get it. The option that they really had was to have it towed, which ends up costing you, you know, the storage and the towing and everything. It ends up being, you know, $800 or whatever. So there is definitely a level, and there's definitely a connection in terms of interaction. Now, what you see with this guy in Ferguson, supposedly, and I mean, there's these different videos, it's hard to know or whatever, you know, the idea was, according to the protesters, that he had his hands up in the air and he was surrendering and the cop shot him in the back. And obviously that would be the worst possible thing that could happen. That would be the most extreme, you know, shooting someone unarmed who is surrendering in the back, obviously. According to the cop, it's a little different that this guy jumped on him through the police car window and was trying to grab his gun or whatever. I think I would have just rolled up the window, but I don't know. You know, that little electric window thing, but whatever. The point is that when you think about, you know, those circumstances, it definitely makes a difference. And I've told everybody, you know, this cop that's pulling you over, you know, he's not your friend. So he's trying to gather evidence against you. And there's definitely this kind of game that they're playing. And I've seen a number of people recently who were listeners to the show that had heard my advice that Tom and I talked about in the past, that you should, you know, insist on having a blood test. You should insist on not doing the field sobriety test. And the cop says, I want to do a field test, or I want you to come out, I want you to touch your toes and all this. And the guy says, look, I really don't want to. And the cop gets into a conversation. Come on, I'm trying to help you, man. What's the big deal? And after bugging the guy a couple of times, the guy actually gave in. I have an unbelievable case that I'm doing right now where this person, my client, was in an accident. He hit a pole. And he was injured. He hurt his leg. I think he sprained it very seriously. And he had some other contusions and bruises and stuff. And so he was taken into the ambulance by paramedics. And they had him strapped to a gurney. And they were treating him and putting ice packs and whatever they were doing. And while he was literally in this situation, in the ambulance, being treated by the paramedics on the scene, this cop was giving him the field sobriety test. Can you believe that, Tom? Totally unethical.
Wow.
Let's, you know, touch your nose with your finger and all this other BS. And the guy is obviously in shock, and he's been in this accident. So he's, I don't know, trying to do what the cop wants. Now, there's definitely a line to be drawn. And, you know, you've seen these on YouTube. And our good friend, Mr. Checkpoint Senate, he had a couple of really interesting ones where he went through checkpoints and he refused to cooperate. And you see that the cops go nuts. The cops bring the dog, and they make the dog scratch your car, and they start digging through stuff, and they get very agitated. They're very angry. They want you to roll down the window, and if you only roll it down a little, which is all you really have to do, they're like, hey, why don't you roll down your window? What's your problem? Why are you being an asshole? You know, whatever. But there is definitely something in between, and I think that's probably the best lesson that I can provide to people in general is I want you to think about that. I want you to remember that it's a tense situation. And maybe you are a little tipsy. Maybe you're not legally drunk, but you've had some drinks and you're nervous. Maybe I've got a lot of guys that have the girlfriend with them. They've got friends in the back seat or whatever. And so the cop comes over and obviously it's stressful. But there has to be a way that you can experience both where you say, look, officer, I here's my license. I'm driving home, but I don't want to answer your questions. I'm sorry. And my lawyer's not here, so I really don't want to answer your questions. And the cop will say, oh, come on, what do you got, something to hide? What's your issue? You know, why can't you just, you know, do this for me? You're supposed to. They'll say things like that. You have to. You're required to do these things. And you say, I understand. I just really don't want to. And they'll say, yeah, but it's no big deal. I want you to come out here and touch your toes or whatever. I'm sorry. I just don't want to. People don't understand. They say to me, I think I did pretty well on the field sobriety test. This is bullshit, okay? No matter what, you're going to fail the test. There is no way that the cop is going to have you touch your toes, touch your nose, and say, oh, you're not drunk, you can go home. There's no way, okay? They already have probable cause when they pulled you over and they smelled alcohol or they asked you. By the way, guys, say it directly. The classic answer, the cop says, have you been drinking, sir? A couple of beers. That's two beers. That's already over the legal limit, okay? So you should not be talking. You should not be getting into this. And you have to also stick to yourself. You say, I want a blood test. I don't want to do the breathalyzer. And they'll say, you have to do it. Come on, you got to do it. Please do it. No, I don't want to do it. I want the blood test. I've seen it where the cop took the breathalyzer machine, which is kind of like a straw on the end where you blow, and practically putting it in the guy's mouth. Literally, putting it in his face. And he's like trying to shove it into the guy's mouth. And you have to say, officer, please, I don't want to do that. Now, again, I don't want you to antagonize the cop. You don't want to get into one of these, you know, hey, get the fuck away from me, don't touch me. You know, there's definitely a line to be drawn. And you see how resisting arrest is a very dangerous thing to do, basically. I mean, wouldn't you say, Tom? You know,
I wouldn't do it.
Well, I know you were very sympathetic to the guy in Staten Island, you know, the guy that got chokeholded.
I was. And I'm not saying he was doing all the right things, but... You know,
didn't deserve to die.
The death penalty is not the penalty for selling loose cigarettes on the street.
Couldn't agree more.
Or for not agreeing to help out with a police officer when he's trying to arrest you.
But before the arrest, he starts yelling at them. And he's saying, that's it. I've had it. You guys are harassing me. Leave me alone. Get the hell away from me. And they said to him, you're under arrest. And they're trying to get his arms. And he's screwing around with them. Now, they immediately, the guy jumps on his back, which I think is probably too soon and certainly an overreaction. I don't know how much they knew about the guy. Apparently, they had been bothering him and been aware of him for a long time. So I don't know if they knew he had a bad heart or he supposedly had all these health problems.
And once he was in cuffs, there was no need to restrain him in any way.
You know what gets me the worst, to tell you? Leave the cuffs. When he was on the ground and he wasn't moving anymore, okay, and the paramedics came... And they're unfucking believable. They should get the cuffs off of him, turn him over, put him on a gurney, treat the guy. Maybe they give him oxygen or something. They literally are standing around, kind of going like, "Oh wow, what happened to him?" You know?
Right.
I don't know if you remember in the Fullerton Police Night when the paramedics came, they were helping the cops that had some contusions on their face. I think one of the cops got cut on his face. The guy was dead. And they didn't give a shit about him, right? Yeah, what are you going to do about that guy? He's dead. And they were putting a Band-Aid on the cop's face. So it shows that they are also influenced by this. I mentioned that I had this client, and the cop is in the ambulance and giving him field sobriety tests. I think the paramedics, you know, as the ones giving the medical treatment, should have said to the cop, hey, get lost. What are you doing? This is our patient now. You know, one of the things that a nurse or a doctor is supposed to do in general is protect their patient. And if you're in the hospital, I don't care who you are, you're a murderer. If you're being treated by a doctor, okay, and the cops start coming and questioning you or whatever, the doctor is supposed to say to the cops, don't fuck with my patient. I'm helping this guy. He's been given anesthesia or whatever. He's not well. Get lost. You're not questioning him now. And it's amazing how people are unwilling to make those decisions. And there really is this in-between thing. And I think that minority people obviously feel it much more acutely, but there definitely is this danger that you cross a line, and it's hard to know what it is, and a lot of these cops or whatever seem to have a real hair-trigger mentality where they decide very, very quickly that they're in danger or their lives are in danger or that you're resisting arrest or whatever the hell's going on, and they're very, very fast to use deadly force. Now, we talked a little bit about this also in terms of being pulled over. You know, a lot of cops get shot and killed and so forth during what they call routine traffic stops. And it's very important, for example, that when the cop pulls you over, you choose a good place. One of the most important things, actually, is to signal to the right that you're pulling over. It's very important to show the cop that you've seen him, you know, that he's not just chasing you. So you signal left, you slow down, but you also have to find a good place. That's an interesting point, because the motorist is the one who chooses the place, not the cop. And the cop probably would like to choose the place, but he can't because he's following you. So you want to go to a place that's off the road, it's not dangerous. A lot of times I've seen videos on YouTube, cops get hit by an oncoming car or whatever, that's crazy. And, you know, a lot of people get hit on the side of the road changing a tire or whatever. So you want to try to go somewhere that's not dangerous. And then the second thing is...
By the way, I hate to interrupt you.
Of course.
But, you know, I do think a lot of people, when they are being pursued to pull over for speeding or whatever,
sure.
I think a lot of them feel pressure, like the cop wants them to stop here, wants them to do it now. And I think a lot of people obviously start driving erratically just because they know they're being pursued. So maybe they don't always choose a good place because they... After watching 8 million freeway chases on TV, a lot of people want to stop right away, and I see them stop in very precarious locations.
Well, that's why you signal right.
Yeah.
Signaling right shows the cop, I see you. I know you're there. I got it. I'm pulling over. That's important. That's an acknowledgement. But the point is, you're absolutely right. You don't want to do a precarious thing, but obviously your heart starts beating. It's a tense moment. Now, once you've been pulled over, you know, you got to give your license and registration. But when you see the cop, and sometimes the cops will wait a little while, that's a good time to get your license and registration. But if you see the cop coming towards your car, that is not the time to be digging through your glove compartment. okay? Because the cop doesn't know you. He might think you're going for a gun. It's very important that when the cop approaches your car, you roll the window and you have your hands on the wheel, on the 10 and the 2. The phrase that they use in the military and so forth and police academy is that hands kill. And that's right. Hands are what kill. So you've got to keep your eye on the person's hands. And if the cop can't see your hands, he's going to be threatened, or she, for that matter. You know, they show, Tom, that women cops are actually much more likely to use deadly force. That's an interesting point. You know, if you think about a big burly cop that walks into a bar fight and he starts, you know, barking orders to people, it's much more likely, I think, that he's going to be taken seriously and feared, and even these drunk assholes in the bar are going to knock it off and calm down, as opposed to a woman, let's say, who comes in and starts telling them to knock it off, and they start saying, oh, screw you, bitch. She might be much more in the position that to assert authority that she may be threatened. She may have to use her gun. And they found that police women are much, much more likely, I think it's 3 or 4 times more likely, to use deadly force precipitously and quickly for that reason. But anyway, in the context of this conversation, again, you know, and it is a nerve-wracking time, but again, you have to be able to have this conversation. Officer, I understand you want to see my license. It's in my pocket. Is it okay? I'm going to reach my hand and get my wallet out. Is that all right? And wait for him to say yes, okay? And officer, I'm going to get you the registration. It's over in my glove compartment. I hope it's okay. I'm going to reach and get that. Is that okay? And wait for him or her to say yes. It's important that it shows that you're having a communication. You know that police have wide, by the way, one of the widest discretions. That's one of the problems. You know that the discretion is very, very big for police. And it's not uncommon, for example, when the wife of a policewoman gets pulled over, that she says her husband's name and she shows one of these little badges or whatever, and she gets off with a warning. So that's one of the things that they say, that there's discrimination because they're more likely pulling over blacks or whatever. Maybe that's true. But in your case, if you're compliant and you try to work with the cop and you make him feel that you're cooperating, you know, and by the way, I think it's not a bad idea occasionally to say you're sorry. That works. You say, you know, the officer will generally say to you something like, you know, do you know why I pulled you over? And he'll say, and you'll say, oh, I don't know. And he'll say, well, I think you were speeding and you missed a light back there or whatever. And, you know, you say, oh, I did. I'm really sorry. I didn't see that, you know. That is probably a smart thing to say. That's not necessarily really going to hurt you in court so much. But the point being that the cop has a discretion that if you've been cooperative and you've been decent about the whole thing, that they can let you go with a warning. And they'll say, hey, kid, drive more carefully, please. You know, I don't want anything to happen to you. Say, oh, thanks, officer. I'm sorry about that. And, you know, that can be the end of it right there. Less so in a DUI, but I think more so with traffic stops. And then the really big thing, which to me connects to all these different issues, is the second part, which is when they ask you out of the car, that's tense. And you're on the side wherever you are. It's night usually. You're tired. Maybe you are a little drunk. And they start fucking with you. And they say, come on, you've got to do this. And you've got to be able. You've got to be able to do it in the right way. You know, officer, with respect, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do the field test. I want to have a blood test. I don't want to answer your questions without my attorney present. And they do not take no for an answer, okay? So like a very persistent person, they're going to say to you, oh, come on, why don't you want to do the blow test? You have to do the blow test. You have to comply. It's very important that you comply. And then they'll fuck with that psychological thing. Hey, I'm trying to help you. Don't you see? I want to make this easier for you. Work with me. I'll make this easier for you. And you've got to be able to walk away from that and say, look, I'm really sorry. I don't mean any disrespect, but I'm not going to. I'm just not.
Are cops allowed to lie like that? I mean, for example, if yes. You went into court, they can do that.
Oh, hell yeah.
So you couldn't say to the judge, the cop lied about my client's rights?
Yeah, fuck you, man. You know, the reality is, and this
what if
is,
the cop said, well, you know what, your Miranda rights, that's on Dragnet, but it doesn't exist in the real world.
Not
buddy.
In real life, huh? You know, people always tell me they never read me my rights, but again, that doesn't necessarily matter either. Depends on circumstances. When you look at the situation, one of the reasons, and this is a good reason, that you don't talk to the police, as an example, and this happened to, Tom, this is awful, it happened to a lot of people, it's actually a crime to lie to the FBI, federal investigators, a felony, serious crime. And they, on the other hand, are allowed to lie to you. So there are guys that got arrested after 9/11 for bullshit, you know, but they looked foreign, or they were taking pictures of things, and it seemed like maybe they were, you know, terrorists doing some advanced planning or who knows what. And they got brought in, and the FBI asked them a couple of questions, and they weren't truthful. Now, these guys were innocent. They didn't do anything wrong, but they weren't truthful with the FBI. Now they're getting deported. Okay? And that's not a joke. That happened to a couple of people. I got really screwed for that. And so you really do not have an equal relationship where, like you say, they can lie to you, they can give you things that are not true and create constructs that aren't true. There's an example, there's actually a case on Long Island that you would probably be familiar with, where the police told this boy, actually his father was in a coma and then died, and he was blamed for killing the father, but that's Tankliff, by the way. But what ended up happening is the police said to him, your father came to, and he said that you stabbed him. Now this was absolutely not true, but they did that to provoke the guy. Because now they said that the father said that he did it. And he was like, oh, my God, my father said that? Maybe I did stab him. You see? Well, the bottom line is that was a lie, and they're allowed to set you up in that way. So when a cop starts giving you advice, it's always amazing to me when people say, Officer John told me that I can get this expunged. And officer, and I'm going like, what? Friends, legal advice from a lawyer. Just keep that in mind, okay?
I'm going to take a break here. We have calls coming in.
Super.
And coming up, I'm going to talk to a caller in Scottsdale who wants to know whether to take the blood test. We won't answer that now. We'll answer that when
okay.
he gets in. One guy says, how many times do I tell a cop no? We'll talk about that. And somebody wants to give you some kudos. You're all calling in. And you can call in, too, and talk with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs at this number. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is the number. It's 901-3000-866.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Webinars by Dennis are back with secrets of self-employment and success not taught in school. Webinars by Dennis could be exactly what you need to get on the road to financial success. In his 30 years as a consultant and tax professional, Dennis has seen it all, breaking down the books of hundreds of clients and even helping people like you start their own business ventures. And with that experience, he's developed a trusted reputation as having a unique and insightful look at both the successes and pitfalls of those seeking to attain personal wealth. And now he's sharing his knowledge with you in a series of videos packed full of experiences, anecdotes, and practical tricks of the trade that can help you find that business angle that's been eluding you. Watch them on your PC, Mac, or smartphone and become inspired to succeed in the way you've always dreamed. Just go to webinarsbydennis.com. That's webinarsbydennis.com. You could be one video away from living the dream.
A man and his truck. A man, his truck, and his favorite radio station. And come the ballads and the broads and the bullshit. Now that man is driving around in his truck in a storm, in the mud, looking for his balls. Over here, dummy. New normal. Fuck.
Hey, P1s. Our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything. Even groceries at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. and pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from BlowMeUpTom.com.
Hammer time!
Show at 901-3000 Tom, a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. The holiday party from hell is Thursday. All the discounted tickets are gone. All the premium and super premium Tom tickets are gone. We have a scattering of remaining tickets if you would like to go to the party. Adam, you're going to the party, right?
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to bring some Likettes too.
Nice.
I know it's important.
Yeah. Tom.
Of course it's important.
I'm trying to moderate. I think last time I had like 20. That was like too many.
Oh, my. They're like hurting cats. Anyway, you don't want to miss this party. It's several hundred P1s. And, of course, Gary Andino and Mikey Timpson and I and Adam and all kinds of people who you'll recognize and many who are coming from other parts of the country.
We have a soldier coming from Afghanistan, right?
From Kandahar, Afghanistan.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We have a listener in Detroit, a listener in British Columbia.
Canadians
in
all
Florida,
right.
Texas. They're all coming in.
So
it's
going
to be outrageous. So holidaypartyfromhell.com if you would like to join us at this party Thursday night. Holidaypartyfromhell.com. All right, your calls, 901-3000. Tom is our telephone number for Adam Sachs. It's Jeff in Scottsdale. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Tom and Adam.
Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Okay, my question is, if you get pulled over for drinking, as the topic is, and you don't do the field sobriety, you don't do the blow, and you say, take my blood.
Right.
Okay. And they take your blood, and you're over. Rumor has it they tend to beat you up a little more.
No,
court, I guess.
That's not true.
That's not true.
No. The bottom line about the blood test, I mean, listen, if you're over, you're over, okay? And obviously, I can get you some kind of a better deal. I can get you some kind of a plea. You have to be smart about it, obviously. And there are a lot of factors involved. And the police, as we know, make all kinds of mistakes, which we can take advantage of. But the reality is that the blow test, the breathalyzer, is notoriously, notoriously inaccurate. The companies that make them have been sued. There's been class action cases. All kinds of crazy stuff goes on. And those tests simply do not work. I just don't believe in them. They're crap. The blood test is highly accurate, but one of the other things that's good about it is that it's going to take a while to get you there. So when you're on the side of the road and then you say, I insist on the blood test, it's going to be at least an hour, if not more, for the cop to get you, take you to the hospital, wait online, draw your blood, and so forth. I have had so many cases you would not believe that are borderline. If legal is 0.08, I have so many guys that are on the 0.07, 0.08, 0.09 area. And if they had only waited another hour and done the blood test and with a real accurate test, it would have been under the threshold. But because they did the blow, and the blow, as I said, is screwed up anyway, they came out 0.09 and they were convicted. So I think it's really important to recognize, you know, unless you're really a gambler and you know you haven't been drinking at all, that you should go for the blood test. And the other thing about the field sobriety test, which is very important to remember, is that you're going to fail it. It's highly subjective. The cop generally, the reason he's making, what, let's say he pulled you over for speeding. People get pulled over, so foolish, like not having a license plate in the back or whatever, stupid things, lights out in the taillights, things like that. But then it escalates because the cop smells, when you roll your window down, he smells alcohol, your eyes are red, sometimes you're tired, I suppose, but, you know, they have certain things that give them what they call probable cause. And for you to come out of your car and then to start touching your nose, there's no way that the cop's going to say, oh, you know what, he passed the test. No way. You're going to fail the field sobriety test. And I think it's a waste of time because the cop is always going to use that in his report. that you were tripping on your feet and you were shaky and your hand was shaking and you were nervous and you know, that crap. It's better off leaving that all out. And that's also why you don't talk, because, again, that's very subjective. And the cop says that your speech was slurred and you were stuttering. I mean, you know, I could slur my speeches because I'm tired. And that's going to end up being something that's going to be used against you. You got to remember the Miranda. It's anything you say can and will be used against you. It's not can and may be used against you. It will be used against you. So you got to be very aware.
Okay. So if you do, you know, if they catch on the blood, it's the same if you blow over, basically.
The thing about, again, the blow is that it's not accurate. That's the bottom line.
Okay. Right.
And by the way, I've had people tell me stories where they were on the side of the road. The cop didn't really know how to use the machine. They're trained to use it. But a lot of times they haven't done it for very long, or the machines, some of them are kind of quirky or whatever, and they're not calibrated right. And they're sitting there blowing 10, 15 times, and the cop is like struggling to get the thing to work. That's nonsense. You know, this is your life.
Right.
I think you should go for the deluxe, which is the blood test.
Okay, I agree. If you guys have time, I have something to boot here that's no one really talks about.
Really?
You go to a party on a Saturday. You sleep over at your friend's house. You get pretty tanked. You drive home the next morning.
Right.
There's a good chance you could still be over.
Yeah, it's really strange. You know, there's a lot of factors. You know, you have to know your own alcohol metabolism, and people that don't drink very often sometimes are the ones that get DUIs. Tom had a thing. I don't know if we're going to do that on this show, but we used to talk to people that were driving drunk around the holiday times.
We are going to do that.
Great. You know, people that drink all the time are much more experienced in beating the system. People that don't are more likely, I think, to go out one time and get a DUI because they don't know their own standard. And you have to look at how much you weigh, you know, in terms of your body mass and your tolerance of alcohol and how fast you metabolize it, and it definitely is different. And as you say, it is possible if you have several drinks, let's say late at night, I don't know, 1, 2 in the morning, then you go to sleep at your friend's or on the couch or whatever it is, and then you wake up, let's say, at 6 or 7, that's only about 4 or 5 hours later. You know, and if you're very slim, let's say, or whatever, it is possible that you're still over the limit. And you may feel sober, but your body hasn't fully metabolized. You know, people, you know, will get Starbucks and they'll drink a cup of coffee. That has no effect whatsoever. I mean, people really believe
right.
that. That's a myth. People believe that if you drink coffee, it'll pep you up and get rid of the alcohol. That is not true. The only
right.
thing that's getting rid of the alcohol is your liver metabolizing it, and that just takes time.
All right. So, but cops are not looking for that in the morning, basically.
I think they are. I think cops are very aware of it. Absolutely. Cops are under a lot of pressure. There are all these statistics, and you know, Tom and I have talked about this. This is a cottage industry for the counties.
Yeah.
They make – it's like unbelievable how much money they make. And they arrest in a county like Los Angeles 200 to 300 people every day. And that's on regular days. On the holiday weekends and so forth, it's double or triple that. So if you think about those people coming to court, paying fines, paying for the alcohol classes, paying court fees, paying to the police department and tickets and all this other stuff, and it's not small amounts. It's thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Okay? There's no way that you can say, oh, in the morning they're not looking for drunk drivers. Of course they are.
I wasn't sure. It was a question.
I'm with you. It's something that's going on.
Yeah.
It's something that they're very aware of. And you can see that it's escalational, like I said before, that a person has a bad taillight or he swerves, he gets pulled over for the taillight or for speeding, and then the cop forgets all about that because he escalates it when they smell alcohol or they see an open, you know, bottle or whatever. A lot of people, they'll say to you, where are you coming from? And a guy will say, I'm coming from a party. I'm coming from a bar. And they'll say, oh, really? So were you drinking? And people are so fucked up, they say yes.
Well, yeah, I don't.
People are afraid
nowadays,
to lie to cops.
Nowadays, we don't do that anymore. Uber, I've gotten really good about that.
Well,
I want to know the law.
Well, Tom was just teasing me that Uber is going to put DUI out of business. I hope that's true.
I love it. Yeah, that'd be great. I was wondering about that myself.
That's the future.
I take Uber now every time I go out drinking, 100% of the time, 100%.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
Very smart policy.
It just makes absolute sense. Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
I wonder if the cops are going to start fighting them and they don't have the right insurance or blah, blah, you know.
I think that they just got Uber out of Vegas, right?
Vegas, and I know in Portland they're suing Uber. Uber just started up without the permission of the local authorities.
Nice.
And now they're being sued, and they're continuing to operate.
Far out.
So I hope they win. I do. I mean Uber, not Portland.
Yeah, but one way or another, the old technology is going to fade.
Well, it's going to have to, because it's clear that there is demand for what Uber does. And Uber does it way better than a cab company and more cheaply.
I was still thinking about New York with those freaking medallions, right? Those, like, millions of dollars, right?
Which I read in Forbes recently, the value of a taxi medallion in New York is plummeting.
It should.
Because of Uber.
Good.
That's great.
Them. It's ridiculous.
I hate those fucking cab drivers.
Yeah, goddamn
hate
right.
Them. Hate them.
Let them die.
901-3000 Tom, it's Michael in San Jose with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Michael.
How are you, too?
Great.
Adam, I had a question about being arrested for domestic battery.
Uh-oh.
Is it true that the police have a 24-hour window to arrest you if say, you know, the girl calls after you've already left and accuses you of domestic violence?
Well, they have a lot more than that. What tends to happen, you know, is that the woman calls and the police arrive, and it's kind of like in the middle of a situation happening. But one of the classic things that the guy does, which I think is very smart, is they get in their car and drive away and not return, say at a friend's house or something, you know. That's very sensible, but the reality is that if she's made a complaint to the police or they've witnessed, you know, injuries or whatever on her, bruises or whatever, then they make a warrant for your arrest, and you can be arrested any time. The fact that a day goes by or a week goes by or whatever, that's not going to help you. You're subject to arrest. Now, it may not be like in the movies where they put up roadblocks and do a dragnet for you. But, you know, you're going to have this warrant outstanding, and they're not going to forget about
it. Yeah, but they may come to your residence or to your place of work.
They will. They'll get you. They don't forget.
Yeah.
The other thing that happens in a lot of cases that people don't realize is there's some kind of criminal thing that happens. Someone writes a complaint, and you don't hear anything for a month, and you go, hey, I'm off the hook, and then you get something in the mail. And it's it looks like a little form letter, and it says, you know, so-and-so, district attorney or city attorney or whatever, please come to so-and-so courthouse on so-and-so day to answer for the charge. And they give you, like, a number. People don't know what that means. So they show up without a lawyer, and next thing they know, they're facing charges. So, you know, there's definitely a different world where we don't have, like, the Soviet Union where the army is, you know, breaking down your door and, you know, shooting you. But at the same time, you know, just because it's out of sight doesn't mean it's out of mind. And you know that in domestic violence cases, which is unique, the complaining witness, which is, let's say, your wife or your girlfriend, you know, she cannot drop the charges. People don't remember that. I say that to people all the time, and they just don't get it. So if you guys, and this is the classic thing where you know, you break up and you fight and then you make up and all that other stuff, if you guys make up and she loves you again and she tells the cops, you know, drop the charges, or she doesn't want to pursue it, or she won't testify, that doesn't matter. They will do it without her, and they ultimately don't need her to cooperate. And domestic violence is some of the most serious charges to face. It's very, very humiliating. People don't even realize it's something that can affect you. If you think about, you know, let's say a lot of guys go in and just plead guilty. They don't hire a lawyer or whatever. They want to get it over. Even if they're not going to go to jail, that is something that is going to be on your record. Now, think about it years from now, like this letter I read at the beginning of the hour. You're going for a job interview 5 years down the line, and the guy says, I'm sorry, we did a background check on you. And you were, is this you? You beat up your girlfriend in domestic violence back in, you know, 74. And you're like, oh, my God, that's, you know, that was nothing. I didn't beat her up, you know, whatever. You know, you're going to lose that job. It's a very, very negative sounding thing that makes you sound like you're an animal, you know. You beat up a girl, you know, you're a domestic violence guy.
You're guilty until proven innocent. I don't care what the system says when it's domestic violence.
It's not a joke. Domestic violence is something you do not want to be branded with. And so, you know, it's really, really harsh. And as we've said, and this is something, I don't know if you remember, we had this guest, Erin Pitsey, on. She was talking about this, that, you know, a woman spontaneously gets angry at you, she dials 911, and that's it. Everything in your life is topsy-turvy and upside down from there on in, just from one frickin' phone call.
Michael, thank you for the call. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We have a couple more calls. We're going to tell you how you can get in touch with Adam as we continue. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Boys, I've been encouraging you for years, using the services of a professional to help you navigate some of the more difficult times in life can be invaluable. It has been for me, and it's great to hear that so many of you have been taking back control with the help of our friend Paul Beatty at Sydney Counselors. Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and can tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, this is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues, alcohol and other addictions, depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can meet for face-to-face counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino show. Probably because that Dino won't stop doing stupid stuff. Dino will now eat 1 tablespoon of cinnamon. I know it sounds stupid and easy, but there it is. It's now in the mouth, and he's attempting to make something of it. Come on, dude. You can... Come on. Come on, dude.
Don't get him, Pop.
Guts. Glory. Stupidity.
It can't happen that fast.
The Gary and Dino Show.
Breathe through your nose, dude.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
All right, boys. Let's talk insurance. Coslo Insurance. C-O-S-T-L-O. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslo since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslo. Well, you know I was so happy with their service. Now I've added 2 more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills, and it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Coslo has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CosloInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CosloInsurance.com today. Coslo. C-O-S. T-L-O.
Hammer time.
It's the Tom Likas Show. A bonus hour. And if you would like the Tom Likas Show to continue into 2015... go to PremiumTom.com. Sign up for Super Premium Tom now. That's the new service that gives you over 2,500 hours of our content. Plus, the shows after September 15, 2014 are all without commercials. So each day's show, you can listen to it without any commercials. All right? Simple. Signing up guarantees will come back, so sign up. At PremiumTom.com. That's PremiumTom.com. And if you want to give the Tom Likas Show as a gift to a friend, go to GiveTom.com. It's GiveTom.com. Adam Sachs, where can people get in touch with you?
Well, give me a call toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. I do answer my own phone. You can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And, of course, I love email. Send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Let's we still have all these calls coming in here. Let's say hi to Troy in Plano, Texas. Troy, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Troy.
Hey, Troy.
And hi, Adam.
What's going on?
By the way, Adam, this is your segment, one of my favorite segments of the entire week.
Thank you. I might have to add that. Well, I really
appreciate you saying that. And I agreed with about 95% of everything you said earlier, except for the part where you said, say, I'm sorry. If you say I'm sorry to a cop,
you think that's a confession?
If you were in an accident, say, you know, and you could apologize, that's just as admitting guilt.
No, I don't agree, but okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, why would you apologize for something you may or may not have done and most likely may not have done? That they could easily twist that around as admitting guilt. So, you're all right that if you did apologize to a cop, you do have a chance for him to say, okay, well, you know, drive safer next time or slow down and you know, just give you a warning or a verbal warning or whatnot. There's a small chance. There's also a chance that he could twist that around and use that as evidence against you.
Would that,
that
be an admission of guilt, apologizing?
No. I understand what you
mean. Why would you apologize if you didn't do it?
I'm with you. I understand what you mean. I've had cops say in court about my client, whoever it was, you know, blah, blah, he apologized to me. And I say to the judge, he was sorry that the incident happened. He's not confessing that he was guilty. And the judge always agrees.
Well, if you're involved in that, so to speak, and say, you know, because everybody knows by now I'm a biohazard, Texas waste transportation, and I drive semis. And if I were involved in the accident, it really wasn't my fault. I didn't cause the accident.
Right.
I did everything I could to avoid it. I got out and told the other person who hit me or the other person involved in the accident, oh, I'm sorry. That's just the same as admitting guilt, and that could be used against you later on and being held against you. Because
right.
You said I was sorry. Now, really, literally, you were saying, I'm really sorry this happened. I didn't want this to happen. Nobody does. But because of the fact that you said you're sorry, and I've been with other companies, and they actually preach in their deal, don't apologize. And
right.
I totally agree with that.
Okay. That's your choice.
But I've
been in a car accident, I always, and this happened a few times, you know, in life, I got out and I said to the other person, are you okay? I'm really sorry. You know, I didn't want to hurt you. Is your car okay? You know, that's just normal conversation. I don't think that that's giving away the game. I really don't. People make spontaneous statements where they say things like, oh, I really screwed up, you know, something like that. I think that that's bad news. I've heard people say at DUI, they say to the cop, oh, I'm screwed now. I'm going to get fired from my job or whatever. I mean, that's stupid, you know. I think
that's
you keep
bad.
Your mouth shut. A lot of that's hearsay, but there's exceptions with spontaneous utterances and whatnot. I think you should be careful what you say. But I was trying to emphasize, if you don't literally want to use the words, I'm sorry, what I was trying to emphasize was that you want to try to be courteous towards the cop. And you don't want to be an asshole where he's going to, you know, beat you up or whatever.
All right, Troy, thank you. I want to squeeze at least one more in here. Danny in Corpus Christi, Texas. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam.
Hey.
Now, let's say you get pulled over, have petty crime or whatever it is, because nowadays it just seems like crime is going down, so they want to get you on anything.
Okay.
To make their money. Well, let's say you're courteous. You do everything that we do, everything that you tell us. We're nice to the guy, but you get this asshole cop who's persistent, and he just won't let up. I mean, when do you say enough is enough? Like, hey, man, I already said I'm not going to do it.
You stop talking.
And then
stop talking.
Control yourself, you know, without having to blow up, because that's probably what he wants you to do.
I know, but you can't feed into that. You know that anyway, right? Come on. When we talk about the person that attacks you, one of the reasons that they are attacking you is because they like your reaction, right? And if you you deprive them of that, then they're not going to get any satisfaction from it. And you've got to say to the cop, look, I'm officer, I really mean it. I'm not going to do this. I do not want to be interrogated. I don't want to be questioned without my counsel present, and I have nothing else to say. And then you shut up. That's
well,
it.
I mean, let's say you're at the, I mean, some of these streets, you know, they're dark, you know, not too much traffic going by, and you don't know if he does have a camera or not.
Right.
Now it's just you and him. And we know cops like to lie. They could say, oh, well, this guy came at me, so I had to tase him, or just because you're not being cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, where,
well, listen,
where
if you,
do you
if
go
you
now?
Get a,
now it's your word against
I understand,
his.
But if you get a maniac and he's just this crazy, sadistic person, I don't know what to tell you. Right?
Okay,
I mean, you're sort of telling me that you're facing this cop who's insane, right?
Well, I mean, you don't know he's insane. You're trying to be courteous. You're trying to be nice. And yeah, he might start off, come on, well, I want you to. But he gets annoyed because you're not cooperating. So he becomes a little bit more asshole-ish, you know, and to the point where, no, you know, I'm going to take you in for obstruction and all or whatever it is. And which brings me to my second question. Are we able to call you at that point, that even if it's at night?
Oh yeah, I mean, I get people calling me all the time. You know, people call me from scenes of accidents and so forth. But I mean, you know, you have to be able to tell the cop, basically, I want my attorney, and that ends the questioning. That's the bottom line.
You know,
I think that what gets cops crazy, I think, is being physical and being aggressive towards them.
Well, I mean, he could have had a bad day, you know. Let's say he stopped two other people before that listened to Adam Sachs that said, you know, don't do this. And now he's on his third person, and he thinks, well, maybe I got to be even more aggressive.
Yeah, I see what
you
mean.
And can y'all take me out? Don't tase me, bro. Thanks, Adam.
We can. Here you go. Right now.
What did I do? Get off me. No way.
There you go. That's pretty stupid.
Get the fuck off me, man. I didn't do anything. Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me. I didn't do anything.
Come over.
Ow! 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 Ow!
That's the worst, man.
Ow!
That's the new and improved Don't Tase Me,
bro. Oh, my God.
We were using the censored version from radio before.
Oh, that's going to be twice as long.
Twice as long and twice as explicit.
Oh, my God.
For that matter. All right, one more time, Adam. How can people get in touch with you?
You can call me at toll-free 1-800-340-7320.
All right, Adam Sachs. You hear him here live every Tuesday answering your legal questions. It's Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Over 700,000 tune-ins every month. Don't fuck with us. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary's Dino. Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer. Beer Magazine. New survey shows that Cameron Diaz has the most wanted figure by women, while men prefer Kate Upton's body.
How twisted Diaz. Are women? They're not.
They don't want to look like Cameron, not like Kate.
Yeah.
Well, but that's because they always like somebody in their 40s or beyond. Remember Meg Ryan was what all women wanted to look like? Or Jennifer Aniston? But they never want to look like women in their 20s because they know they can't.
I like that Jennifer Aniston.
I do, too.
I'm down.
Yeah. I like to sign up.
How old is she, 50 now?
She could be 70.
Really?
She got a lot of dough, too.
Soon she'll be on that alt.binaries.senior citizens.
If they look like that, that's not what you showed me, to be fair. Because that's
mostly what's out there. And you'd have no idea what's under the clothes. Look at Cameron Diaz.
You showed me that in like in the year 2000. I still can remember exactly where I was when I saw it. I can't unsee
delicious.
That.
Delicious.
Oh my God!
The wrinkly stuff and the gray in the gray bush, dude. Oh yeah.
Yeah, the gray bush, because they're all from the era of the bush. The older women don't shave.
Oh.
Bring that bush over here.
It's like hanging gray matter is terrible.
Yeah.
Give me those fried egg titties.
The titties look like the white version of National Geographic.
Oh my God.
National Geographic titties. We used to talk about that all the time.
Oh. New study says that men who fear competition have more sex with their wives and girlfriends. Now it's Dr. D'Amelio to explain.
Well, I'm really good at this. And this is a new study from the American Psychological Association. I am a member myself. Pulled 393 men together who were committed to some broad and asked them a couple of questions. So this is what they figured out.
But there's a whole scientific explanation for it that I do not understand.
Oh, I'd be glad to understand.
Do you get it? Okay, go ahead.
The guys that are competitive, right, so if they fear their competition, which are competitive guys, they tend to focus on that girl. So therefore, they're trying to have sex with them all the time instead of a lot of different women. That's what I gleaned from the study.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I think women with male friends have more sex because they're having sex with more males.
You understand what's going on here? They're saying it's like, you know, it's passing on genetic material to a new generation and all this other
stuff.
They
love to put some hoity-toity explanation to this stuff.
They have to get grants from the government, so they come up with stuff that makes it confusing. I just boiled it down.
Okay.
That's what I was looking for. I say any woman who has more than 500 friends on Facebook has more sex than a woman who has 6 friends on Facebook.
Yay.
Especially if a dude who is clearly like has gone above what he can normally get, he's really just going to focus on that broad, man. So he's going to fear other guys will come and take her away. Get down.
This is fucked up. Nicole Kidman says she likes to get to know the person she married after she marries them. She says she likes to dive in.
Yeah. How'd that work with Tom Cruise?
Great. She says, I'm spontaneous. I jump in. I kind of like getting married and then getting to know each other. I know that sounds incredibly strange, but to me, it's more of a natural process.
It works so well for her, everyone else should try.
Wow, I'll tell you what.
That is nuts.
She's a tall drink of water and everything, and she has a lot of cash, so I'm in.
I want to put that on the list, too.
She could get to know me after.
Done.
Without a prenup.
Without a prenup, exactly.
When do you cut off her? What age do you cut her off at?
I don't, but then I find out about me and get to know me, and then I hate the Jeep and all that fucking shit.
Instead of a titty fuck, you could jerk off between the parts of her turkey neck there.
Oh, boy. Victoria's Secret Fashion Show tonight. In fact, the East Coast feed's probably on right now if we have it.
We have to check that out.
I don't know what time that is. But apparently, after the show, what do? They eat. And they eat a lot. Pizza, apparently.
Is the go-to.
Yeah. Because they've been starving themselves for the last 2 years for this.
So the way they look in this exact instant isn't there.
It's going to change an hour later.
Yeah.
Stuff themselves with pizza.
Well, I'd love to be the pizza guy that night, man. Come on.
Exactly. Finally, a pick alert for you. It's Alyssa Milano and her big knockers. She's got them all jammed up. She's at what is she for? Into the Woods. What's that, Disney thing?
I believe
it is.
Like, I care.
She's pretty jammed in there. Is she pregnant?
She just had a kid, it looks maybe she's knocked up again.
Yeah, check out the thing.
But those are big milky breasts, and I'd like to tell her who's the boss.
Those might be literally milky. They might be loaded with milk.
That's fine, I guess.
Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary's Dino.
Dr. D'Amelio.
Be sure to check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find a brand new show every single Friday. GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Has this ever happened to you? You live in Canada, and you're stopped at the American border and denied entry, preventing you from traveling to Vegas or anywhere in America, for that matter. Maybe they gave you a hard time because you got busted smoking a joint or something a long time ago. How about you U.S. citizens who've been stopped at the Canadian border on your way to Whistler, Vancouver, maybe Toronto? Didn't it just piss you off? Well, especially if the border official gave you a hard time because of some little thing on your record from the distant past. Well, denied entry to USA.com can help. Denied entry to USA specializes in resolving border crossing problems. problems. With years of experience, these guys can be your lifesavers. They'll work on your behalf so you can easily go back and forth for vacations, business, pleasure, or just have fun, if you know what I mean. Online at denied entry to USA.com or give them a call at 888-908-3841. That's 888-908-3841. Get your ass back on the road with denied entry to USA.com.
This is the new normal.
The websites I go to is like Cliff Hunter and YouPorn and Pornhub.